Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com, here on a Tuesday as we will be recapping the AFC Championship game as the Kansas City Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl for the second straight year with their 38-24 victory over the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are still a good team. Give them a lot of credit on obviously one of their best seasons in a long time, but they kind of came out in this game a little differently than I thought they would, and that's not necessarily because of how the Chiefs played in this game, but really interesting kind of dynamic with how Buffalo came in with their game plan offensively and what they tried to do defensively as well. Left a lot to be desired. So we'll kind of recap kind of the bigger points in this game. What stood out? Obviously, both sides of the ball for the Chiefs. Update everybody on some injuries, as well as we sit just about 12 days away from Super Bowl 55 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll even hit on the NFC Championship game a little bit, not a lot, but want to touch on that a little bit as well. But I think this game, what stood out the most in a good way for the Chiefs is, even though I guess for other teams it may look kind of exotic and creative, but for their offense and what they're built to do, it was kind of just a nice game to see the Chiefs do everything so easily and simply. And there just was not a lot of times where you really thought this offense was in a lot of trouble. There was a couple of plays early in the game on the first drive where they missed on some big plays. Of course, Tyreek Hill with a drop pass on third down led to a punt. And then, of course, we saw a couple of running plays here and there early on. Loss of yardage just because blocks were not able to be made. The Bills did a good job of setting the edge and snuffing it out pretty good with guys like Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison on the defensive line playing a pretty good job. Pretty good game there. So I think the big thing that stood out, though, offensively for them is they were able to, you know, have a lot of yards after the catch. And this is obviously not something that maybe is too surprising for Kansas City, but just the fact that we sometimes don't see these players in the Chiefs offense try to push the limit, so to speak, because sometimes we see Tyreek Hill play it, you know, pretty smart and just go down to give himself up in the middle of the field. But there was obviously a lot of plays in this game where he was looking to continue to get as many yards as he could. Obviously, there was one play later in the game. I think it was a 71-yard gain where he probably ran at least 100 yards himself after the catch before being brought down and almost scored on that play. And it was just a simple throw into the middle of the field, and then you allow Tyreek Hill to use his speed and elusiveness after the catch. Travis Kelce had a couple plays in this game where he was – kind of able to break some tackles and really separate himself from the defense. I was kind of surprised how open, you know, Kelce ended up being a lot of times in this game. And some of that is, you know, I just don't think the Bills came into this game really having a clear idea of how, you know, they were going to start this game. It seemed like early on they were going to try to play some man and cover two high safety look. And then you look at, you know, what they did later in the game, a lot of soft zone, which – when you look at what Patrick Mahomes does, and I know there's people out there that, you know, are already tired of hearing about Mahomes and how good he is this early, but when you just look at everything in and of itself, I mean, Buffalo coming in as hot as they were, 11-1 in their last 12 games, had won 8 straight. Their only loss in the last 12 was due to a Hail Mary, and they come out and just look like any other team that the Chiefs play. It's pretty amazing to see, because Kansas City, like I said, it was almost pretty nonchalant and simple how they moved the ball in this game. Didn't have to use as much, you know, creativity as they necessarily had to in other games. So to see how much they really dominated Buffalo, and it wasn't really, you know, in a way, a lot of effort that they had to exude in this game. I mean, it just goes to show how deep this roster is, what good of a job the front office has done, whether it's, you know, guys that John Dorsey drafted back in his days in Kansas City, or what Brett Veach has brought in now lately to the Chiefs. I mean, these are guys that they've always taken chances on. I mean, you look at Travis Kelce, was a third-round pick. Obviously, Mahomes, he was a first-rounder, but barely a top-10 pick. He was not the first quarterback selected in 2017. Tyreek Hill was a fifth-round pick. You look at just some other guys fluttered in and out of the roster, and it's kind of really how most teams kind of dream of hitting on, what they perceive to be a good roster. When you have your top 7 to 8 players that are able to, be elite for you week in and week out, when you look at guys for the Chiefs like Mahomes, Hill, Kelce, Tyrann Mathieu on the other side, and Chris Jones and Frank Clark, and then you're able to have those depth players really exceed in crucial moments like we saw in this game, who are on their rookie deal. It just goes to show right now that, Kansas City is just obviously living in their Super Bowl window right now and doing everything correct to put this roster in a position to succeed. So just to see some depth guys play really well in this game, not just offense, but defense, was a good thing to see. Juan Thornhill, who I think was a little slow at the beginning of the season coming off the torn ACL, he's really looked back to his old self with the explosiveness, the hard hitting, being able to kind of read and react like we saw him do really well last year. So these last few games Thornhill's played, he's done a really good job. He did drop an interception early. But yeah, he had a couple big pass breakups. One was flying through the back of Stephon Diggs where Diggs drops the ball. That was kind of early part of the game. And then Thornhill had another pass breakup later that could have almost been intercepted. The Chiefs had two dropped interceptions in this game. And still, the Bills were not able to score much touchdowns. Obviously, 5 field goals from Tyler Bass. 2 touchdowns is all the Bills got. And one of them was in garbage time. One of them was, a yard out from the end zone on a. On the play after the Mecole Hardman fumble on the punt return. So just depth players that stepped up like Juan Thornhill, Alex Okafor, even Ben Neiman on a couple of pass plays in coverage. I mean, usually he's kind of hit or miss in pass coverage in this game, but he did okay. Daniel Sorensen continues to just be an interchangeable piece, which is a nice thing to have when you have Tyrann Mathieu as your, kind of do-it-all defensive back, not necessarily locked down to one position. On your defense. So to see the depth players that stood out in this game, Darrell Williams once again, right? He had a big game as well, splitting time with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And Darrell had, a big touchdown in this game, being able to break a couple of tackles and extend the ball just enough across the goal line. So there was a lot of stuff in this game where the depth players really showed out. And again, that's just testament to what kind of chances this Chiefs front office has been willing to take since Andy Reid's gotten there. Good coaching and obviously the stern kind of ability that these coaches have, as far as Andy Reid's assistants go with Eric Bieniemy and Steve Spagnuolo. So, just really good to see those depth players stand out. But I guess going back to Mahomes earlier, I mean, this was kind of one of his best games in a good while, and he played really good against Cleveland in the divisional round before going out with the injury, but. It was almost kind of funny how, just everything worked out so far for him in the playoffs, getting, knocked out of that game with maybe not necessarily a concussion. It wasn't ever confirmed, but a tough, awkward injury. And then he comes back in this game and has, just like we said earlier, it was almost a pretty easy day at times, just probably throwing on air. And there was a couple of plays where, it looked like he was going to get sacked or, get hit after releasing the ball. But he was able to evade pressure pretty easily. So that turf toe injury that they reported really didn't look to bother him at all. There was one play where the Bills had a free rusher get a free shot at Mahomes, and he was still able to kind of muscle through the pass rush enough and get the ball to Travis Kelce on a 3rd and 6. So it was really kind of interesting to see. Like we said, how the Chiefs offense operated in this game. I think Mahomes is just kind of one of those guys that, and this is just the same with the Chiefs team as a whole right now. You just know that, okay, they're going to go down the field and score no matter what. And it's funny how similar to the playoffs last year, the Bills get up 9-0 in this game. And it's just funny how, I think just even watching it on TV, the Chiefs feel more comfortable sometimes down 9-0. So, they create that little bit of adversity for themselves with the Mecole Hardman fumble. And then, after that, Hardman has a couple of big plays himself. He had a big catch, for about 40 yards. He had a 50-yard run on a reverse and, of course, caught the first touchdown pass. So it's funny how it works out, because what are you supposed to do if you're an opponent of Kansas City, right? You getting out to that early lead, it should feel like a good thing, but it's just crazy how every time it seems like they get down by, 9 or 10 points, and they just feel almost more comfortable, like they're gonna score no matter what. And that's what it felt like at that point once it got to 9-0 on Sunday night, and they rattled off 21 unanswered. It's kind of like, some other games they had earlier this year against Miami, right? Down 10-0. Suddenly you blink, it's 30-10 Chiefs. And it's crazy to see right now because of obviously the matchup that they're going to have in the Super Bowl, going up against Tampa Bay, who's a defense that, can wear them down a little bit. I think they have enough speed at all three levels. But we saw that matchup earlier in the season, and Kansas City handled it pretty well. They kind of let Tampa Bay back in the game, but we'll talk about that more in some other podcast episodes here over the next couple of weeks and some articles looking back on that first matchup. But yeah, I mean, I just think overall, again, the biggest thing that I kind of wanted to open with here on this episode is just how nonchalant and almost easy this game looked at times for Kansas City. So we'll take a quick break, kind of talk about the Bills, maybe mistakes they made in this game from a coaching perspective, and obviously a player perspective in this game, and also hit on a couple of other points from Kansas City side of things as we enter the Super Bowl. All right, welcome back to the FBC Chiefs podcast. Again, this is recapping the AFC Championship game where the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Buffalo Bills 38-24, second straight year that Clark Hunt was able to raise his dad's trophy at home in Arrowhead Stadium for the second straight year. So that was exciting to see, of course. But just wanted to talk a little bit about the Bills, and this was kind of the same for the Packers, both teams that lost this week on Conference Championship Sunday, really left a lot to be desired offensively. And it's easy to play armchair quarterback, having seen what happened and then knowing the results and talking about it a couple of days later. But I was kind of floored how many times the Bills opted to go, with the field goal when it was fourth and short. They went for it on the first drive, I think on one fourth down. And did a little RPO pass to Dawson Knox, which was a similar play that they had for their touchdown early, just to the other side of the field is the only difference. But there was one play right before halftime where they had fourth and goal, probably at the 3 or 4 yard line, and they opted to go with the field goal there. Now, I can understand getting points, but knowing how their defense was struggling throughout that first half, especially second quarter, I guess, I was really shocked to see Sean McDermott not try to go there because Chiefs defense has been kind of one of the worst at times this year at making teams settle for field goals in the red zone. They've given up a lot of touchdowns there. So fourth and goal at the 3, knowing you'd move the ball about 5 to 6 yards in the last three plays, I was really kind of shocked we did not see that, especially knowing when you've got as good of a running quarterback as you do in Josh Allen, and even Devin Singletary at times was able to slice through the middle and get some good tough yardage. So that was certainly a play. I think when you look back on it, if you're the Buffalo Bills, you're going to really study that part of the game going into next season hard because, I mean, this is obviously a team that you can't settle for three against. I mean, it's always good to get points, but yeah, certainly the Chiefs defense that plays right into their hands because you keep trying, to make this a game of dink and dunk or just trying to get everything that you can on the scoreboard. And the Chiefs defense, that's when they start to feast, like we saw later on with the takeaways and even the pressure on Josh Allen, which Josh Allen, I do not understand, I guess, from a player perspective in this game, some of the sacks that he took in this one. L'Jarius Sneed had a sack for about 30 yards. Another sack later on was at least 25 or 30, where kind of led to a scuffle between the teams. But I don't know why, sometimes Josh Allen doesn't just throw the ball away. And this is not nothing new, even though he's made some great strides in him in his improvement this season. There's still been a lot of plays where it's just, you need to make the smart decision, save, game clock for yourself when you're trailing by a couple of scores. And just being smart with the football. There was a couple of times where, when he did get sacked for around 30 yards or whatever, the ball was close to coming out. Daniel Sorensen on the L'Jarius Sneed sack almost ripped the ball away. And then, of course, that play where, it kind of led to a little bit of a scuffle between Alex Okafor and the Bills O-lineman and Chris Jones a little bit. The ball was close to coming out almost there as well. So it's just something that I think Josh Allen's still a learning curve for him. And I think that's the same for a lot of younger quarterbacks in the NFL right now. But, it's just tough in a big game like that to really, wonder why Josh Allen made some of the decisions he did. There was a lot of throws that were inaccurate from Allen as well. He made some good ones, don't get me wrong, but there was a lot of throws either too high, a little bit too high, which I know he has a cannon, but sometimes you just got to throw it up there and let your receiver try to make a play rather than threading the needle. There was a lot of plays in this game where he threw it into tough coverage that, like we said, the Chiefs dropped two interceptions in this game, and also it seemed like a game where the Chiefs really disguised a lot of things well. There was a lot of throws that looked open at first, and then they were making a jump on the football. And actually, now that I think of it, I said they dropped two interceptions. They really dropped three because I kind of forgot about the play Charvarius Ward had on the far side of the field, because I was thinking of both of the ones that Thornhill almost had, one of them being a play where L'Jarius Sneed got hurt. But yeah, that Charvarius Ward one too was basically thrown right into his hands. He just was not able to make the catch. So there was a lot of chances that Josh Allen threw up for grabs in this game. And of course, he did get intercepted later on. A tip ball was picked off by Rashad Benton. And then one of the 2-point conversions late after their second touchdown to Isaiah McKenzie, Bashaud Breeland basically baited Allen right into a bad throw into coverage. And he went, about 30 yards the other way with it. So, just a lot of throws in this game. I just did not understand from Josh Allen. Again, Chiefs did a good job, I think, of baiting him into a lot of throws and disguising coverages, really passing routes off well, for some throws that Allen's just sometimes not willing to be comfortable with at times, either settling for those dump down throws and check downs. There was a lot of times in this game where he just forced it down the field unnecessarily. So, a lot of chances for even more turnovers, like we said in this game for Kansas City, and for Buffalo. I think you also look at we kind of touched on it earlier. I think they just were, trying to disguise coverages and adjust during the game as well against Patrick Mahomes. But right now, I think what you got to do, is play with that aggressive mindset that you had the week before against Baltimore that got you the win to get you. Moving on to the AFC Championship game against Kansas City, I know Mahomes has been really good against the blitz, no interceptions against it, but I just thought it would be something that we'd see a little more of from the Bills, is just a lot more blitzing, a lot more, a lot more rushes from all angles rather than just, rushing four and dropping seven back into coverage every time. So it was really a really questionable game. I just expected more from Buffalo. But again, Kansas City, was just that much better coaching, preparedness wise, and again, just these players right now, as I kind of wrote about in our first article of the week for Monday, they just understood the playoffs obviously was the time this season when they really needed to turn it on, and they did just that and even more in this game against Buffalo. So really, I mean, a game that started off a little slow once again for Kansas City, but I mean, once they got rolling, it was just pure dominance. But yeah, I mean, give a lot of credit to Buffalo. They're a good team. I mean, the future's still bright for them. Pretty amazing for Josh Allen and that team that Brian Daboll, did not get a head coaching job. He's still going to be there as the offensive coordinator last year. They do have some big decisions to make, in free agency. I know that at least three of their starting offensive linemen were free agents, are going to be free agents going into the spring. You have Darrell Williams, their right tackle, former Chief center Mitch Morse, and then Ike Boettcher, I believe, is also a free agent. He might be restricted compared to the other two, unrestricted, but they got some decisions to make there. They have some, questions at cornerback opposite of Tre'Davious White, Levi Wallace, and Josh Norman, obviously, just aren't good enough right now to get the job done consistently. And linebacker, right? Matt Milano is a good player, a little bit underrated to some of the more casual NFL fans, but a good football player against the pass. Struggled a little bit in this game, missed some tackles, but Matt Milano, a lot of people think he's going to maybe get a big payday at linebacker elsewhere. So it'll be interesting to see what Buffalo does with those decisions. I could see them draft-wise going with the running back kind of early if they think it's necessary. I know they drafted Zach Moss last year, but this is a team that was severely lacking in the running game, which certainly helped, I think, the Chiefs going into this game. So it's going to be interesting to see how Buffalo comes back from this, knowing that, the AFC East could be even a little bit better next year. Miami was good this season, but not good enough to make the playoffs despite 10 wins. And then, you would expect Jets with the hire they made with Robert Saleh, even though it's going to be a rebuilding effort a little bit still, the Jets' future, I mean, you would think is going to be even better now that Adam Gase is not there. And then the Patriots, right, as long as Bill Belichick's there, I think they're still going to be somewhat competitive, even if their roster is not full of a lot of star players. So Bills will be interesting to watch when they come back next year. But for Kansas City now, you talk about just what they've done the last 3 years, being able, ever since Patrick Mahomes became the starter, to just have the dominance that they've had in the playoffs. Again, some slow starts, but Mahomes now 6-1 in his career in the playoffs. And of course, the Chiefs have not had a long, lengthy playoff success in their history. But for Mahomes to already have the most wins as a quarterback in franchise history in the playoffs at six is pretty amazing in his first few seasons. So, really, really fun to see what Andy Reid is going to do in the Super Bowl. I think just knowing that, he's faced Tom Brady once in the Super Bowl before, and just knowing that Mahomes is 2-2 against Brady so far in his career, it's just going to be really fun, I think, for this Super Bowl. I would have loved to seen Kansas City and Green Bay, but either way, I think going to be a fun game no matter who got there. Because, like I said, last week, I think it was truly the four best teams left in the race going into conference championship weekend. But yeah, the Chiefs were just that much better. And Tampa Bay, I mean, I guess touch on, the NFC title game real quick before we hit on some Chiefs injuries. Tampa Bay gave Green Bay every chance they could to get this game, back in the Packers' favor, and the Packers just struggled mightily in this game. I don't know if it was just because they were playing the Rams the week before or what, but I just thought the Packers, I mean, as good as Tampa Bay had looked so far in the playoffs, I thought the Packers were still just that much better than Tampa Bay, maybe a tier above Tampa Bay going into this game. But man, you get three interceptions off of Tom Brady and you're only able to put 6 points off the board off your three takeaways. That's something that, is really gonna be a big talking point in Green Bay for a while. Kevin Keene, cornerback, I mean, I don't know how you give up an inexplicably bad touchdown like you do right before halftime to Scotty Miller. I mean, Terry Bradshaw on the halftime was saying, you've got to play zone, but for Kevin Keene, I mean, he's just gotta keep his eyes on Scotty Miller on that play instead of looking back in the backfield. And I know he's a free agent coming up this off season, so it could be kind of a tough farewell for him away from the Packers if they don't bring him back. But yeah, I mean, give a lot of credit to Brady. I mean, I don't know honestly if there's any other quarterback either in the history of the game or, obviously right now in this current era that could go to a team like Tampa Bay, who's been a perennial loser, of course, has the Super Bowl from 2002 with Jon Gruden. But to go to a team that ever since their inception back in the 70s was, always a laughing stock or consistently losing up until, the 90s and early 2000s, it's just crazy to see, what they've become now. And surely they've, always had some good players. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard when he was healthy, Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett, Levante David, now Devin White. I mean, all those players have been there now for at least a couple of years, but there's nobody, I don't think, a quarterback that could take a team that was 7-9 and gotten them past that hump and into the playoffs, and now in the Super Bowl. And pretty amazing to think that they're going to be the first team to play a Super Bowl in their own stadium. It's kind of crazy that, the way it's worked out, unfortunately, with COVID this season, that It's not going to be a full house, but still the fact that we will be able to see fans there at the Super Bowl, still going to be a good thing in and of itself. So, just a lot of things from that game. I think if you're Green Bay, that you have to really be disappointed about just uncharacteristic mistakes that we had not seen for the most part at all during the season for the Packers and the Bucks. I don't think they're a perfect team by any means, but it's definitely a matchup that I just think there's a lot of boom and bust potential, so to speak, with this team when they match up with Kansas City, because we saw on one hand, this defense really, really struggle on the back end in the second half of the season, and especially when they played the Chiefs. But, you look at the pass rush that they have, a lot of guys that can handle mobile quarterbacks like Mahomes, Shaq Barrett, one of them, and then just rock stars at linebacker who have, Lavonte David's been kind of an underrated guy for a long time. And then you throw Devin White into the mix who can cover. He can do anything that, not a lot of other linebackers can really do at all levels of the field. So it's really going to be interesting. And that kind of, leads us into our injury update with the Chiefs. It's just why I think the Tampa Bay pass rush, right, is going to be a big area of concern for the Chiefs. It's just because now, one thing that, we didn't like from Sunday night was Eric Fisher going down. And certainly he's gone through some growing pains in his career. Took him a while to really adjust to the NFL level. A former number one overall pick, first year Andy Reid was the coach in 2013. But he's really been, the last couple of years, one of the more, dominant stretches of his career. And the Chiefs, I think there's a stat out there that over the last couple of years when he's played, Eric Fisher's played, the Chiefs are 27-1 and they're 4-5 without him. So Mitchell Schwartz, I think, is still a better player at right tackle, who they've missed since week six in that game at Buffalo. But now you look at both offensive tackles potentially being out. I guess it's not official yet that Mitchell Schwartz would be out in this game. Maybe he'll have a chance to come back. But you talk about somebody like Eric Fisher, who's really started to come into his own these last couple of years, and now, not only gets hurt for the Super Bowl, but with a torn Achilles, you're unfortunately talking about probably missing the start of next season. And he's a guy that has 1 year left on his contract after this year. So it's really going to be a tough stretch here for the end of his contract. He's, going to be 31 next year as well. And offensive line, has already been a big need going into free agency in the draft after the season. And now, that kind of increases a little bit when you look at the timeline possibly of Eric Fisher's injury. So very unfortunate for the Chiefs, very unfortunate for Fisher, who played a really, played a really difficult matchup last week in the Super Bowl with the pass rush of the 49ers, Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, guys like that. Eric Armstead gave him a difficult time last year, but when he needed to be good, he was in that Super Bowl game. So very tough to see him go down with the torn Achilles. I mean, the play was kind of one where it looked like he almost like kind of stubbed his toe or his foot kind of just, nicked the ground real quick. And when I first saw, the replay, I thought it was just maybe something of an ankle sprain or ankle injury. But yeah, to see it be a torn Achilles, certainly tough news there. And the Chiefs have seen some inspired play from some of the depth on their offensive line. Mike Remmers has done a great job this year, first stepping in for Mitchell Schwartz, and now it looks like he'll probably be moving into left tackle over from right tackle. You look at guys like Andrew Wiley, at times has struggled this year, but I think he's really played well lately. So they have some depth guys that have played well, but we know this offensive line, I think it's always been the thing that, if the Chiefs were not going to get back to the Super Bowl or not win it all this year, this was going to be the biggest area that I think you would point to at certain points this season. But it's kind of funny. They've played better in the playoffs, and it seems like every year, if they're struggling at times in the regular season, they'll turn it on and do a good job in the playoffs. So hopefully that Fisher injury won't be as bad as it could be. But again, when you look at the matchup and you look at the, mindset of defensive coordinator Todd Bowles in Tampa Bay, who brings pressure from everywhere, all angles, all gaps, isn't afraid to bring, say six, seven rushers at the quarterback. It's just going to be a really interesting matchup, especially now on the interior. They have a great penetrator that's returned from injury in Vita Vea last week against Green Bay. So that's kind of also brought more focus to the middle. and really made things tough now on the tackles going up against, Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett. So it is just going to be an interesting thing to watch, see what the Chiefs decide to do personnel-wise, where guys play now that, you're potentially losing both your starting tackles from what you envisioned at the start of the year. And again, just going to be interesting to watch. And obviously, we've had some draft profiles come out already, but going to be interesting to watch now how that pitcher injury really affects free agency in the draft even more, knowing that the Chiefs' offensive line was probably their top area or one of the top areas of need. So tough to look at there. But I guess if there is some good news on injuries, it looks like it was reported this morning from ESPN just before I jumped on here that Le'Veon Bell and Sammy Watkins are both expected to be back and available for the Super Bowl. I would say even though Watkins has gone through some tough injuries and some, minimal stretches of production throughout his time with the Chiefs, I think having him back for the Super Bowl is still a good thing. Being able to just add that one more possible weapon for Tampa Bay to stop and maybe take away some of their ability to rush the passer and focus on coverage. And Le'Veon Bell, even though, Darrell Williams has stepped in kind of to the role that, has been very proficient for the Chiefs alongside Clyde Edwards-Helaire now that he's back. I don't know if Le'Veon Bell will really get that much chances, but you never know what's going to happen, coming down into this game. If you're going to need a screen pass to Le'Veon Bell, maybe just one time to get the chains moving. So seeing that those guys will be back, certainly good news for them. And I did see from Tampa Bay's side that they're expecting both Antonio Brown and Antoine Winfield Jr., I believe, to be back. And those are big players for the Bucks. Antonio Brown, I mean, still a good receiver, but I think it's a bigger deal for Tampa Bay that the rookie Antoine Winfield Jr. is expected to be back. They missed pretty much both safeties in the game against Green Bay for almost the entire 60 minutes on Sunday. And then, I mean, Winfield Jr. is a guy that he just does so much. He can fly downhill. He can play on the roof over the top. And he has a speed, combined with his coverage abilities to stay with almost any receiver down the field. So he had a tough time certainly in that first game against the Chiefs. But if Tampa Bay is able to get him back, that's certainly a boost for them going up against the Mahomes-led Chiefs offense. So again, guys, we'll kind of obviously have more articles throughout the week. As I said, we kind of wrote on, just the Chiefs. There was kind of a funny headline out there about them maybe being bored this season and just, only being focused on the playoffs, which I kind of touched on Monday. So go check that article out if you guys have not already. I posted my next Chiefs 2021 draft prospect profile this morning before I jumped on here as well. Pitt defensive end Rashad Weaver, who will be taking part in the Senior Bowl this week down in Mobile. So we'll have some Senior Bowl coverage this week. We'll still have some more draft profile coverage this week, even with Super Bowl stuff coming out. So stay tuned for all of that. I really like Rashad Weaver as a situational pass rusher for what he is right now coming out of Pitt. So go check out that profile from today. A long arm defender, a lot of height, to him, and he actually has some pretty underrated speed, straight line speed too, for rushing the passer. So he's got some good explosiveness despite a big frame. But again, kind of coming back from a torn ACL in 2019, he's still getting some of that athleticism back in him, and really trying to figure out what his role will be if he's going to be a three down lineman or again a situational pass rusher. But I think the Chiefs have to be looking to add more pass rush help going into next year. So edge defenders are certainly guys that I have my eye on, and yeah, we'll have more draft profiles this week. I know another offensive lineman will be the next one, so stay tuned for that on Thursday. And of course, just any other Super Bowl coverage articles. I'm going to kind of be talking a little bit more about the Eric Fisher article or Eric Fisher injury in an article very soon. Going to be looking back on how the defense played against the Bills in the AFC Championship game, given some high praise out there to some depth guys, especially that we talked about earlier on in this episode. And yeah, just stay tuned to full press coverage for all Super Bowl coverage. I know that the Bucks account on Twitter has already kind of put out a Super Bowl 55 headlines piece. So go check that out from Monday as well. FBC editor-in-chief Ian Glendon wrote that. And obviously, if you guys have followed him and you know him, he's a big Tom Brady guy. So it's going to be fun, obviously, talking Super Bowl with him over the next couple of weeks when Mahomes and Brady get a square off for the fifth time. But yeah, just stay tuned to Twitter at FBC underscore Chiefs. You guys can follow myself at Braden Holacek 9 with the number 9 at the end. The full press coverage NFL account on Twitter is at Full Press NFL. So go check that out as well, just to stay tuned with any updates regarding Super Bowl coverage. Again, just stay tuned. We'll have some Super Bowl articles come out here over the next couple of days. Draft content will be rolling out this week as well. Might have a Senior Bowl watch list type of article come out. So if you're going to be watching the Senior Bowl on Saturday for some potential Chiefs draft prospects, be on the lookout for that article by the end of the week. And of course, next podcast episode on Friday, we'll start diving into Super Bowl 55 coverage a little deeper, Chiefs and Buccaneers. So stay tuned for that on Friday. And with that, we are done here, and we will see you guys next time.